How much have you learned from watching movies? It's probably a lot more than you think. We all, consciously and subconsciously, absorb a lot from them. Movies are arguably the most powerful method of storytelling. They have the capacity to stimulate the imagination, transporting us to different countries, different planets, and providing a window into human experiences we would otherwise never think about. We become invested in the characters and their journeys. They make us feel something. They make us laugh, cry, and sometimes terrify us and awaken our curiosity to many things. Crime movies in particular are so detailed, so realistic that they easily blur the line between fiction and reality. Some of them go to the extent of showing us the tools, the planning process, and basically walk us through each moment till the crime is successfully completed. It couldn't possibly be legal to create movies that teach people how to commit a crime, step by step. I've always thought to myself, one day someone will try to pull this off. Well, someone did. This is the story of the Fika Bank heist. This is True Crime Kenya. In early 2017, three young men sat on a living room couch in Juja, a small town in Kiambu County, Kenya. Juja is home to the Jomo Kenyatta University of Agriculture and Technology, known by its acronym JKUAT, which is one of the largest universities in Kenya, with a population of 50,000 students and approximately 3,000 staff. In a recent survey, JKUAT was the second best university in Kenya, after the University of Nairobi. The three men, who were graduates of both these universities, laughed excitedly and probably high-fived each other as they watched the credits roll up at the end of the movie. It was definitely the best movie they had ever seen. They were filled with adrenaline. They had to watch it again. They watched it a second time, then a third. This time, they paused at different points to dissect each scene. It was so detailed. It was like an instruction manual, listing everything they needed to do. They stopped, looked at each other and grinned, confirming that their thoughts were aligned. It was settled. They knew they could do this. They knew where to start. They just had to find the right bank. They chose Fika Town, located 20 minutes away from their place in Juja. It was perfect, small enough to have potential lapses in security, which they could exploit, but big enough to allow them to blend in, relatively unnoticed, during the early stages of their plan. They needed a major bank, one with a strong room and a large sum of money, just like the movie. Enough money to split between the three of them, enough to make it worth the risk. There were just under 20 banks in Fika Town at that time, and they soon began scouting each of them. They may have visited some of the banks together, or more likely split up and conducted their surveillance individually, posed as customers to avoid looking suspicious. Importantly, they took note of each bank's surroundings, size, and location before choosing the right one. Finally, they agreed on the Kenya Commercial Bank, known as KCB Bank, situated on the busy Kenyatta Highway in the center of Thika CBD. It was perfect, a major bank, but relatively smaller in size than other KCB branches, located adjacent to the Thika City-friendly stalls, a line of small commercial businesses with shops available to rent. There was just one small problem. Okay, a big problem. The bank was also located on the same street, 13 minutes walk or 4 minutes drive from the Thika Police Divisional Headquarters. They had to be very careful. They discussed their plan in detail. Every single detail. It would cost a little money to get started, but it would definitely be worth it. They would need to rent a shop at the Thika City-friendly stalls and start a business. Something low maintenance. Something requiring low capital, attracting little to no attention, and basically no foot traffic. They talked through some options and decided to open a wholesale bookshop, supplying textbooks and basic stationery to schools. After scouting the stalls, they noticed that the neighboring businesses were bustling and the stalls sat directly on a main highway. The general area was very busy with continuous foot traffic and public transport nearby. Their biggest concern was that the shops were modest in size and built very close to each other. It would be very difficult to complete their plan with neighbors running businesses right next door. They made contact with the real estate agent to register their interest in the shop. Make that two shops, side by side, at approximately 9,000 shillings each per month. They pooled their money together and paid 6 months' rent in advance and a security deposit. The landlord happily agreed to lease the shops to the gentleman, and they provided fake national ID cards and signed their lease. Weeks later, they realized that they needed even more space and decided to rent two more stalls, allowing them the space and privacy they needed to get to work. They stocked their shop with textbooks and stationery and named it Sky Web Concepts. Catchy. Aside from books and stationery, they stocked their shop with slightly more unusual items. Metal rails, wood planks, a welding gas cylinder, gas masks, numerous cardboard boxes, shovels, a spirit level, a battery and an inverter to provide bright lighting, and various welding tools. In June 2017, Sky Web Concepts was officially open for business, ready to get to work. In June 2017, 32-year-old Halford Munene Murakaru, his 30-year-old brother, Charles Mwangi Murakaru, and their longtime friend, 30-year-old Julius Ndungu Wainaina, set up their brand new bookshop at the Thika City Friendly Stalls on Kenyatta Highway in Thika Town. The brothers, Halford and Charles, were graduates of JKUAT, both having completed bachelor's degrees in agricultural engineering. Their friend Julius was also a university graduate, having completed a Bachelor of Electrical and Electronics Engineering from the University of Nairobi. They were perfectly skilled, definitely overqualified for the task at hand. It was time to start digging. They measured the starting point of their tunnel at approximately 2 meters wide, wide enough for an average-sized human to climb through with their tools. They used their portable excavator or garden tree digger to carefully dig and drill 10 meters beneath the shop floor. Once underground, the men patiently and carefully lined the tunnel with metal poles and wooden planks to prevent potential collapse. Their hours and hours of digging produced mountains of red soil, which they had to get rid of. Obviously, they had planned for this too. They scooped the red soil into small sacks and placed the sacks into numerous cardboard boxes awaiting disposal. They worked only at night, and although the nights were long, they were simply not long enough to dig and simultaneously dispose of the soil. They stored their boxes of soil in one of their stalls. This one was completely covered in their Skyweb branding, essentially creating tinted windows. This would prevent curious eyes from seeing the oddly shaped and dusty boxes, which were coated in red soil and very obviously did not contain stationery or textbooks. The cardboard boxes would remain in the stall, and just before 6 a.m. each morning, they would park one of their vehicles as close as possible to the store entrance. At the end of each night shift, they would carefully load some of the boxes into their trunk and drive off into the dark just before sunrise. So disciplined was the trio, so diligent, that they followed this process meticulously for 6 months without raising suspicion. The most genius part of their plan was the timing. The final and most crucial part of their plan took place on a very tense and important weekend in Kenyan history. They had plotted to break ground and enter the strongroom of the Kenya Commercial Bank on the weekend between Friday, 17th November and Sunday, 19th November, 2017. During these 3 days, the bitterly contested Kenyan presidential election had reached its final stage of appeal at the Supreme Court, and Kenyans were anxiously awaiting the court's ruling. Kenyans' eyes and ears were fixated on the political situation, and police were on high alert, stationed at various high-risk areas, managing the tension and remaining vigilant for signs of post-election violence. Their six-month goal was finally within reach. They had no idea how much money was waiting for them at the end of this tunnel, but they knew it would be worth it. This was the most important weekend of their lives. This had to be done before Monday, as quickly and as quietly as possible. They tripled their efforts and limited their sleep, burrowing, shoveling, and packing the red soil as they had done over the last 6 months. They had mastered this skill now. They were much faster, much quieter, and absolutely more determined than ever. Finally, their tunnel was complete. It was 10 feet deep, 2 feet wide, and stretched carefully underneath the stalls, moving in a straight line underground for a distance of 35 meters and emerging perfectly just underneath the concrete floor of the strongroom of KCB Thika Branch. On arrival at this point, the men used welding tools to burn a perfectly circular hole through the concrete, cutting through one layer, then another, and carefully carrying the concrete slabs through their tunnel, back into the stalls. One by one, they crawled out into the strongroom of the bank, dragging their welding equipment and a small-sized gas tank. They immediately disconnected all the alarms and cut off CCTV cameras. Then they used the oxyacetylene flames of their welding tools to carefully burn into the two safes. Victorious at last, it was all hands on deck as the three partners hurriedly worked together to pack all the crispy cash they could grab into their waiting sacks. They then scooped the remaining soil out of the tunnel to clear the way for their precious cargo, a total of 52.6 million Kenya shillings. On the morning of Monday, November 20th, 2017, Kenyans awaited news from the Supreme Court on whether or not Uhuru Kenyatta's second-term presidential win would be upheld. Suddenly, there was breaking news from Thika.
It was an analogous to a scene straight from a movie at the Kenya Commercial Bank Thika branch when the branch manager reported on Monday morning and opened the strong room, only to find a gaping hole on the ground and money missing. A group of daredevils had staged one of the most unique bank thefts in the recent times, escaping with a whopping 50 million shillings. The bank's manager divulged that the thieves broke into the strong room through an underground tunnel. The tunnel is said to have been dug through a bookshop that is located opposite the building that houses the KCB branch.
They were packing those tunnels into stacks and keeping into those exhibition shops. And these shops is where they used to store the sand, after which they would pack those sand into cartons, indicating that inside are books, and then they would put a book on top of a carton, and then move the sand out and take the sand away under that disguise.
KCB Thika branch manager Samuel Nganga had walked into the strong room to conduct routine morning checks and was met by the alarming, unfamiliar smell of smoke. It smelled as if there had been a fire in what is usually the most secure part of the bank. On further inspection, Samuel noticed a large gas cylinder on the ground, the type used with metal cutters. To his horror, he noticed that the safes had been broken into and that all the cash was gone. Panicked and alarmed, Samuel ran to the police divisional headquarters, 150 meters away, to report the crime. Police immediately arrived at the scene to begin their investigations. Adiel Nyange, County Coordinating Commandant of Police in Kiambu, spoke to the press at the scene.
Past 9 a.m., a report was made at the police station, Thika Police Station, that the manager of KCB said that when he opened the faulty strong room, there was smoke or a smell as if there was fire.
By 11 a.m., the scene of crime forensics detectives were on the scene, trying to put the pieces together on just how the thugs executed the heist.
Then they started now searching from the nearby buildings, whether there is a hole, which actually they came to realize that the next building, which has got exhibition shops.
Very quickly, theories emerged that it must have been an inside job.
It is early to say whether it was an inside job or not, but the truth is that the tunnel was dug from Friendly Exhibition Shop to the strong loom.
Someone tunneled into a bank and walked away with 50 mic.
Wah! Wah!
How did that happen?
You know, few questions.
Yeah.
Why very many people who work inside KCB, must first be arrested before they start arresting anyone.
Mm.
They must go in for questioning.
Those employees.
How they knew where to come with.
Yes.
That took it up, up, up. This is where the vault is. You understand?
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Somebody from the inside must have been privy
to the plan.
To the plan, you understand?
And they said, make sure the tunnel is this many degrees.
This,
pointing in this direction.
Yes. Can you imagine?
Police were most surprised that the neighboring shop owners did not see, hear, or notice anything suspicious during the entire 6 months that the three men had occupied their shops.
And even the people who are selling in the same building could not detect and know whether there was a tunnel, which is being dug, leave alone the police station, which is 150 meters away from the shop.
The Bank Job is a 2008 heist thriller film directed by Roger Donaldson and starring Jason Statham. It is based on the 1971 burglary of Lloyds Bank safety deposit boxes in Baker Street, London. In the movie, the gang rents a leather goods shop located near a bank. After settling into their shop, they tunnel below the vault, then use a thermal lance to break through the floor into the vault. They loot the safety deposit boxes of various valuables inside. The police are alerted to the robbery by a source who overhears the gang's walkie-talkie communications, but by the time they locate the bank, the gang has already fled. Halford, Charles, and Julius were really good students. They had essentially reenacted the movie scene by scene. Distressed KCB customers and the broader community were shocked that the thieves had managed to access the vault. They demanded answers, urging the police to initiate their investigations promptly and intensively. Police began their investigation at the stalls, where they recovered the equipment used to dig the tunnel and were able to access the starting point of the tunnel itself. They took the tools as evidence. Media outlets, desperate to gain more information and lacking any significant clues, began to interview neighboring shops and businesses, trying to gain insight on who these tenants were. Employees of an eatery close to the stalls were among the first to volunteer information. They were taken aback by the revelation that two of their most frequent customers were responsible for the lucrative and, frankly, impressive heist at the bank across the street. They said that the men, who they described as young and slim, ate almost all their meals at their modest establishment. In fact, they visited so frequently that the restaurant staff had become familiar with each of their individual food orders. One of the waiters excitedly reported, quote, "During breakfast, they ate tea and samosas. At lunchtime, one preferred ugali and sukuma, while the other ate rice and beef. They were not talkative and not very friendly either," end quote. Another staff member noted, quote, "By 8 a.m., they would be done with their breakfast, after which they would return to their bookshop and work up to about 8 p.m., well after all other stalls had closed for the day. After hours, we noticed that a gray Subaru Forester and a white G Touring would arrive at the bookshop, and the men would load cardboard boxes into the vehicle and drive off into the night," end quote. A trader occupying a nearby shop also made a comment. Quote, "We are very shocked since none of us here ever suspected anything. The empty cartons, it has now emerged, were being used by the suspects to carry soil from the tunnel," end quote, he said. Their cautious approach had paid off. They had fooled everyone around them. On 25th November 2017, 5 days after the heist, a beautiful young woman posted a 37-second video on her Twitter feed. In the brief video, the woman can be seen wearing shorts and a sleeveless top, sitting on the arm of a couch, oddly stroking a stuffed or toy dog, while fanning herself with bundles of crispy 1,000 shilling notes. Behind her, there is a couch completely covered in more crispy notes. The camera rotates slowly around the whole room, which is also completely covered in money, neatly laid in a pattern on the coffee table and on all the other couches in the house. A white sack on the floor beside her is also stuffed and overflowing with money. When the camera pans back to her, she fans herself with the money again, giving the camera a cheeky smirk. Obviously, this was a terrible idea. The internet went wild with theories, and the video was widely shared on various platforms. Users on the platform Reddit surmised that the DCI had tracked her down after analyzing the unique codes on the 1,000 shilling notes and confirming that the notes were from the KCB Fika branch. Halford, Charles, and Julius had spent months and months planning, digging, drilling, dreaming, and finally achieving their 6-month goal. Their hard work was flushed down the drain in minutes due to the mystery woman's irresistible urge to show off on social media, essentially giving the DCI the one and only clue they needed to catch the bold and otherwise careful robbers.
Wait, no spoilers. Don't Google it yet. Please stay tuned for part 2 of the Fika Bank heist, which will be posted tomorrow. Follow us on Instagram at True Crime Kenya Podcast to see photos of the tools, the tunnel, and the video that ruined their plan.
Kenya is produced by Picture Media. Research, writing, and editing by DM Noor. Narrated by DM Noor. Theme song by Just a Band. Thank you for listening. Stay safe.